Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma, sitting on his lotus seat in his own abode, always meditates on him and worships him with the mantra consisting of 18 syllables. Please repeat. Lord Brahma, sitting on his lotus seat in his own abode, always meditates on him and worships him with the mantra consisting of 18 syllables. Purport. In his own planet, Lord Brahma, with the inhabitants of that planet, worships the form of Lord Govinda, Krishna, by the mantra of 18 syllables. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabha Svaha. Those who are initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who chant the Gayatri mantra three times a day know this Ashtadasha Akshara, 18 syllable mantra. The inhabitants of Brahmaloka and the planets below Brahmaloka worship Lord Govinda by meditating with this mantra. There is no difference between meditating and chanting, but in the present age, meditation is not possible on this planet. Therefore, loud chanting of a mantra like the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna, with soft chanting of the Ashtadasha Akshara, the mantra of 18 syllables, is recommended. Lord Brahma lives in the highest planetary system known as Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. In every planet there is a predominating deity. As the predominating deity in Satyaloka is Lord Brahma, so in the heavenly planets Indra is the predominating deity. And on the sun god Vivasvan is the predominating deity. The inhabitants and predominating deities of every planet are all recommended to worship Govinda, either by meditation or by chanting. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Jakshusun Meritam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nasta Preshu Badrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Utma Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki Shri Jitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Upapadamayam Padatikam Sapatikam Padantikam Sapatikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nevajesa Sranyavadi Pastachadesa Taharine Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gagadhatha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. First of all, I'd just like to ask permission of all the Vaishnavas, some old Vaishnavas that might be able to say something. This is a very esoteric, actually, verse here. It's like a fathomless ocean of nectar. And somehow I'm sitting here by the mercy of Ravindra Prabhu and the Vaishnavas. So I'd just like to ask permission. I might be able to say something with my limited realizations on this very esoteric verse. So this is actually a meditation by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj. And the story goes, which we've read in previous verses, where Krishna Das Kaviraj's brother offends a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, Miniketanam Ram Das. And so Krishna Das Kaviraj chastises his brother. And then later on, that night, Nityananda Prabhu comes to Krishna Das Kaviraj in a dream and says, you have to get up and leave for Vrindavan. So these verses 205 and 211 is the meditation by Krishna Das Kaviraj where he's on his way to Vrindavan. You can see his mood, very, very humble. The first verse, 205, He says, I am more sinful than Jagai and Madai, and even lower than the worms in store. So this is actually the qualification of a Vaishnava. he considers himself lower than a blade of grass. Everyone tramples on a blade of grass. More tolerant than a tree. A tree gets cut down, even though it's giving so many things like fruit and shelter, the living entities, and it still gets cut down, but still it doesn't protest. So this is the very humble mood of a Vaishnava. All his qualification is actually, in his mind, the mercy of Nityananda and Nityananda's devotees. Lord Nityananda is sending Krishnadas Kaviraj to Vrindavan to the shelter of Srila Rupa Goswami. Actually, this whole chapter is entitled The Glories of Lord Nityananda, who is the Adi Guru, who is the original Guru. And from Nityananda, as it's described, everything emanates. All the material and spiritual worlds are manifested from the body of Lord Nityananda. Everything is either an expansion or a plenary portion or a portion of expansion on Nityananda. And he is the Adi Guru. In other words, all gurus come from Lord Nityananda. The whole disciplic succession manifests this way. So the essence of this actually chapter is actually the only way you can get the mercy of Krishna is through the Vaishnavas. But we have to approach this in a very, very humble mood. And here, in this verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj is showing how humble we have to be. Going to Vrindavan isn't like getting an airline ticket and just you're there. And then you're up in the MVT having a vegetarian meal and ha, ha, ha. That is not going to Vrindavan. Although I went recently. This is the mood we have to approach. Somehow, we have to get the dust from the lotus feet of the pure devotee and rub it all over our bodies. You can do this literally. I mean, you'll make benefit if you did that. But it basically means that we have to imbibe the mood of that pure devotee. And take to heart the transcendental word vibrations coming out of his mouth, which are like tiny drops of nectar. This is what it means by serving a pure devotee and taking the dust from the lotus feet of the pure devotee. And then he says, yeah, anyone who hears my name loses the results of his pious activities. Anyone who utters my name becomes sinful. I mean, his name's Krishnadas, so. But this is his mood, you know. He's not just saying it, he actually means it. And then he goes on, verse 208, 207, glorifying Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, and then he says, who in this world by Nityananda could show me his mercy, to show mercy to such an abominable person like me? And then he goes on, he has a vision. He has a transcendental vision through this mood. He sees Madan Mohan and Lord Govinda, which are his loving deities. And what does he see? He sees Srimati Radharani, he sees the Rasa dance, he sees Lalita and others. It's a very esoteric subject. But this is a transcendental vision by Krishnadas Kaviraj. He's seeing Krishna wearing yellow garments decorated with a flower garland, all Krishna appearing among the gopis with his smiling lotus face. He looked like the charmer of the heart of Cupid. And then he sees Radha and Lalita serving him on both sides. So this is a very, very, very deep transcendental subject matter. And then he sees on an altar made of gems in the principal temple of Vrindavan amidst the forest of desire trees, Lord Govinda, the son of the king of Vraj, sitting upon a throne of gems, manifests his full glory and sweetness, thus enchanting the entire world. And then we come to the verse itself, 2:21, where he sees Lord Brahma sitting on his lotus seat in his own abode. He always meditates on him, worships him with the mantra consisting of 18 syllables, which is the Gopal mantra. So I'm gonna go back a bit. Beginning of creation. That's quite a bit. Yeah. So Lord Brahma, he's born from the lotus of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, from the navel, lotus flower. And we all know the pastime where he wakes up and there's complete darkness and he's in the illusion, he's deluded. So he tries to find out the very existence cause of his existence. So he climbs down, doesn't see anything, goes to the middle of the stem, doesn't see anything, so he goes back up and meditates. No, he hears tapa. So then he does some tapasya, some meditation. And then by meditating for a while, he actually receives the Gopal mantra. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopi Jana Valabha Svaha. And by meditating on the Gopal mantra, this is considered like diksha. Meditating on that Gopal mantra, he gets a vision of Krishna playing his flute, which is here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Brahma Samhita. And it says here, enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri embodying the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted. Then Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, being made manifest, i.e. imparted by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the lotus mouth of Brahma. Born from himself through his ear, 8 ear holes. The lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri, sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the status of the twice-born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, Godhead himself. So first he gets diksha, gets a Gopal mantra, and then he meditates, he sees Krishna playing his flute, and then through that he gets the calm Gayatri. Last one. I don't know if I'm meant to repeat it or not. Probably won't. So then through that calm Gayatri, Lord Brahma, he again sees a vision, same as what Krishna Das Kaviraj is seeing here. Lord Brahma sees. And what does he see? It is explained, Prabhupada explains here in the beginning of this chapter. Where Lord Brahma says, I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, the first progenitor. He was tending cows, yielding all desires in the abodes, built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. So here Lord Brahma, by getting the Gayatri mantra, he's getting a revelation. He's seeing Krishna, he's seeing the spiritual world. Vaikuntha. And then through that, he gets the intelligence to create the universe. So we can see that the The beginning of all existence is sound vibration, the Gayatri, which Lord Brahma received. Hence, he is the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the head of, which we all follow. And then later, Srila Prabhupada explains that, Lord Brahma chants this Gayatri. This is how he worships Govinda. But in this age, it is not possible to meditate because it's very difficult to sit and meditate, even for 2 minutes. We cannot meditate. So then Srila Prabhupada says, the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the process for this age. And then Prabhupada says, along with the Ashtadasha Akshara Mantra, the Gayatri. So one may question, well, if the Maha Mantra is the mantra for this age, then why do we need to chant any other mantras? Why do we need to chant Gayatri? Of course, one can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without even Diksha. But you will only get to a certain point. You can chant only up to Nama Bas. There are three stages. There's Nama Parad, Nama Bas, and Sudanam. So without Diksha, we can only get to the point of Nama Bas. So therefore, to get beyond that point, if you want us to chant in Sudanam, we have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, just like Lord Brahma got his Gayatri, got his mantra directly from Krishna. And then by the instructions of that spiritual master, he's explaining how we can avoid the 10 offences, the Nama Parad. And if the spiritual master himself is chanting purely, then we can get to the pure stage. So this is why it's important. Gayatri and Maha Mantra, a very good combination. It is like rice. To make rice, you need water, fire, and a pot. So the rice is like the Diksha mantra, and then the water and fire pot is like Gayatri, then you can make nice rice. So the Gayatri and Maha Mantra combination, it helps us to achieve prema, the highest perfection, love of Godhead. So there are many references in the scriptures about the importance of the Maha Mantra in this age. I was in Vrindavan recently, and I hadn't been there for 15 years. And I was walking along the road, and coming towards me, I saw Shishi Radha Gokula Nandiki, Shishi Sitanaksha Hanuman, Shishi Gwanitai Ki. Coming towards me, I saw a devotee I hadn't seen for about 18 years. And I was surprised. Because Prabhupada said, be surprised who leaves, don't be surprised. Be surprised who stays, don't be surprised who leaves. So I was surprised. I said, Hari Bol. And then, he had a beard. And when a devotee has a beard, kind of alarm bells start ringing, Of course, unless you are Indra. And then I asked him, I said, oh, how are things, I said, very nice to see you, Hare Krishna, Vanchakalpa. And then I asked him, I said, are you still in good standing with your spiritual master? Because it's kind of questioning you, kind of ask someone if you haven't seen him for 18 years and they've got a beard. And then it all came out. He said, no, left my spiritual master. And his spiritual master is a very, very well-respected Vaishnava, even ISKCON. Left my spiritual master. Now I've taken reinitiation from outside of ISKCON. So I said, okay, fair enough. Outside of the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And I thought, okay, it's getting worse. Somewhere, and now I reside in Radha Govardhan. And I live in a very nice room and I just look out of the window and across about 100 yards I see Gover downhill and it's very nice. Yeah. Very nice scenery, yeah. If that's the way you want to see it. But at that point, I was kind of in a rush, so I didn't really, I thought, okay, if I get into it with him right now, I'm going to be here for some time. Because I could see he was, you know, wasn't going to take it standing. So I kind of just left. But then later I was thinking in my mind, I was thinking, is it right for a devotee to just be quiet in a situation like that and just walk off? Or should we actually stand up for what our predecessors are actually saying? And then later on, I was in Krishna Balaram the next day, temple, and there was one devotee there. He was a disciple of Gaura Govinda Maharaj. He's there every actually 18 years ago when I came, 15 years ago, he was there distributing Gaura Govinda Maharaj's books. And he said to me, would you like to... Hey, Hare Krishna, I haven't seen you for a while. I'm a Sankirtan devotee, so I knew I was going to get hit up. So he said, I have some very nice books, Gaura Govinda Maharaj books. And I said, okay, what do you got? And he showed me some, you know, book that his disciples had compiled from Gaura Govinda Maharaj's lectures and Sudanam Bhajan. So I took it and then I read the next day. I was reading his amazing book, very nice book. And right at the beginning of the book, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj explains that if you call yourself a Vaishnava, then we should be ready to defeat people who say anything other than the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the process in this age. Because that devotee had also said to me that, I said to him, do you chant the Maha Mantra? And he said, no. He said, my guru has given me a secret mantra. So Gaura Govinda Maharaj was saying, actually, and I thought this was Krishna saying to me, you know, I call myself a Vaishnava, why didn't I say something there? Why did I just walk away? Yeah? And then Gaura Govinda Maharaj explains very nicely in the beginning of the book that Maha Mantra is the Taraka Brahmanam. So even Lord Brahma himself has actually recommended the Maha Mantra in this age. Yeah. And sometimes we hear the Maha Mantra is the mantra of this age, but we don't realize actually the Maha Mantra is eternal, like Krishna. There is nothing equal, or nor is there anything higher than the Maha Mantra. Same as there is nothing equal or higher than Krishna. Yeah. So Gaura Govinda Maharaj is explaining in the book that there are different Taraka Brahmanams in different yugas, like Satya Yuga has a specific mantra they chant, Treta, Dwapara, specific mantras. But in this age, it is the Maha Mantra consisting of 16 words and 32 syllables. And there are many references that we can use. Kali Sutarana Upanishad is explaining Itishodasakam Nam Nam Kalika Musunashanam Nataha Paratopaya Salva Vedishu Trishyate. So all the Vedas are saying this, even the Kali Sutarana Upanishad, that this mantra with 16 words and 32 syllables is the only way in this age. And there's obviously the famous verse that we should all know, the Brihat Naradya Prana. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalu nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. So in that book, he's saying as Vaishnavas, we should all know, actually he was saying we should know every nam of every age so that we could defeat these people, which is fact. So after getting that book, I saw that this was actually Krishna telling me that I have to get my act together. I should have said something to him instead of just walking away. Because it is our duty to defend and to preach what the predecessor acharyas are preaching. It's coming straight from Lord Brahma himself. Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam. So it is saying only the holy name in this age It didn't say book distribution, Mevi Kevalam, or preaching Mevi Kevalam, or collecting money for temples Mevi Kevalam. It says Hari Nam. Although these things are all a means, of course, book distribution, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, is the Briha, or Danga, is the greater chanting. But that is a means to what? What is it a means to do? When we give out books to people, what are we trying to get them to do? Ultimately getting them to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is a means, it is not the end. Hari Nam is the means and it is the end. There's nothing higher, according to scripture. And of course, loud chanting here, Prabhupada is explaining about in 21. Specifically loud chanting, you know. Although there are certain groups that say, no, we mustn't chant loud, we have to chant soft. But Lord Chaitanya has specifically come in this age of Kali, and he doesn't always come in Kali. He only comes once in a day of Brahma, so he doesn't come in every Kali Yuga. He's very magnanimous, he's very merciful. And he's saying that we should go out and chant loudly. We don't always do that, you know, because there are so many other things that are more important. Because by chanting loudly, then everyone is benefiting, every living entity. Forget concocting all these mantras, this mantra, that mantra. There's only one mantra in this age. You can see when Prabhupada started the movement, what did he do? What was the first thing he did? He sat into Tompkins Square Park and he just chanted Hare Krishna. So everything has manifested from everything that is within ISKCON at the moment has manifested just by Prabhupada chanting the Maha Mantra. But of course the Maha Mantra has to be chanted purely in order to get that ripe result, you know. It is said that we can chant Naam Aparad for thousands and thousands of years, but we will not receive the desired result, which is Krishna Prem, pure love of God, what these Vaishnavas are seeing. So what Krishna Das Kaviraj is seeing here is exactly the same thing that Lord Brahma saw, and it's exactly the same process. He's seeing Krishna and Radha and Lord Brahma saw the same. But it has to be done. It has to all be done in a specific way. So those two, Gayatri and Maha Mantra, are very two powerful combinations there. So then getting this book and then I realized that actually I'd made a huge mistake, you know, just walking away. I should have. And then when I came back, Ravindra, he asked me to give class. He said, Prabhu, would you like to give class on the CC? And I said, no, it's okay, I'll too many things on. But then I read the verse. And it was this verse, Lord Brahma, again, about the Maha Mantra. So then I thought, okay, I have to give class on this verse to say something. Krishna works in many wonderful ways. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna Sango Pangashta Pasadam Yagya Sankirtana Praye Dijanti Hi Sumedha Saha. So those who are a little bit of intelligence in this age of Kali, it is said they worship Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, by chanting the Maha Mantra loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah.